and all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to three Exoduses, it has been to bring a message of deliverance to the people. Therefore, this morning we will look at the characteristics of the message in which God brings to a man. He gives it to that man, and that man becomes a messenger. William Branham was not born a messenger. He was not a messenger at the age of 20, but he became a messenger when God gave him a message. In the first Exodus, we see that God gives a prophet, Moses, a message, and that message is to deliver the people from bondage. Now, the thing of it is that every time God comes, it's been to bring the people deliverance. That's what the message is all about, is to deliver the people. And so we see in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 1, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me." And then we see how God promises to be with the mouth of his servant. Because, let's face it, if God gives a man a message, and the man messes it up, that would be no good. So we see that God had to build and equip the man to say what God wanted him to say. And God had to actually train the man before he gave him the message. That's why even Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the first time that God appeared at the River Jordan, and we see that John testifies that he saw the Spirit of God come down like a dove and he entered into Jesus. That's after 30 years of living such an example without the baptism of the Spirit, without the anointing on him. In 30 years, that young man Jesus was raised up. Although we know he had God life in him to begin. Yet God was so pleased with his life that God entered into him, and God spoke at the River Jordan and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Brother Branham's translation of that was, "In whom I'm pleased to dwell in." Now, 3 years later, God took Jesus up to the mountain, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Then Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament appeared, and God adopted Jesus. He placed him. And this time, the same words were spoken to begin with. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell." But then God added, "Hear ye him." And so God then sent Jesus forth, and we know that, of course, when Jesus went forth with the miracles, the people loved it. But when he came forth with a message, they hated him for it. So God has to build the man equipped to be able to stand alone, to be able to reflect exactly what God wants him to say without being a respecter of persons in doing so. And then God promised to be with the mouth of his servant so he could stand there and say what he had to say. In Exodus 4:15, "And thou shalt speak unto him and put his words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do." So God is the great instructor. God is the teacher. You see, Moses did not think he was qualified because he was not a polished speaker. But God let him know who made his mouth. You see, if God calls you, then you should not worry about such trivial matters as whether you can speak or not, or whether you can speak well or not. Brother Branham was not considered an eloquent speaker. And yet when he spoke, it went right to your heart. In Exodus 4 and verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" So if God makes a messenger, you had better know one thing for sure. He equips that messenger to give the message exactly the way he wants to give it. The problem is that God hides in simplicity. It's not a problem for us, but it's a problem for the world. Because they saw the simplicity of William Branham and they say, well, how could that be of God? Too simple. Well, I imagine the polished up people and the politicians of John's day when they saw him coming out of the wilderness stinking like locusts and honey. They probably said, man, that guy's a weirdo. How could he be of God? And all the high priests with their robes and their intellectual studies and all these things. Because what God really wants is not the ability to speak. If you wanted the ability to speak, you'd go to the finest schools where they train people to speak, to select His people. But what God is seeking is the ability to surrender yourself to Him in everything you do and everything you say. In Deuteronomy 18 and 18, God promised, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. All. He won't hold back anything. In Exodus 4 and 12 we read, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And from escape hither, come quickly, Brother Branham said, God's messengers has always been a message of deliverance before judgment. Noah had deliverance. Lot had deliverance. And though it was a message of deliverance, the people turns it down. It's mercy and deliverance, and the people turn it down. So we see the Alpha and Omega. There's always got to be a message of deliverance for the people. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Bram said, look at what happened when Jesus was God's message to the people and they rejected it. Look what happened to the people that rejected it. So we see then that there will be a message, and we're not going to get into the rejection this week, but we're going to show you in weeks to come that that message that's given, perhaps next week, that message is always rejected. In every age it's rejected. From God who is rich in mercy, Brother Ramson, now God always likens his prophets to eagles. And what is it? Moses was his messenger, and they were following Moses, and that was the eagle's wings that they were carried over on, because he was packing God's message, and the people followed that. They were following God as they followed Moses with his message of deliverance. And the Bible said they perished not with them that believed not, because God was rich in mercy to them, because they were following his commandments. God wants us to follow His commandments. From why it had to be shepherds, Brother Branham said, now notice, He has sent to His brethren in slavery under bondage with a message of deliverance, with a God-given sign to prove His claims. Israel went for His message. They believed it, every one of them, but in the evening time, and notice here that Brother Branham corrects himself to let us know that it was not the message that they believed, but the miracles. He stops and he says, they went for his miracles, but in the evening time when he gave his message, it was different. All that did not believe that message died. That's right. What was the message? The message was the coming of judgment. At the evening, God went out through the camp of Israel to find if the people had believed his shepherd's prophet's message, and all had not believed it perished. What if they were just following the prophet? 2 million people followed the prophet, and every one of them died, Jesus said. Except for those that were actually willing to follow. Those were the young ones that came on later. From escape, hither come quickly, Brother Bram said, every time the messengers that went forth brought a message of love, grace, and deliverance, God's message has always been a message of deliverance before judgment. Noah had deliverance, Lot had deliverance, and though it was a message of deliverance, the people turns it down. It's mercy and deliverance, and the people turns it down. From called out, Brother Bram said, let us see what taking place in the days of the coming of destruction and judgment in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. They were both affiliated with the third destruction. Jesus said, just as it were in those days, so will it be when the Son of Man comes the second time. It'll be just like it was then. And we're taught that in the days of Noah, and not only at that time, but in the days of Lot, as the junction times, and every time before the judgment comes to the earth, God sends mercy. Just before the days of the antediluvian destruction, God sent a prophet to the earth, Enoch. And he sent an angel, and he sent a message, and he did the supernatural. But what did man do? They ate, they drank, they planted, they builded, they rejected the call of the message. Though the message that each of those men, both Lot and Noah, their message consisted of this: grace, mercy, and deliverance. Grace, God's mercy to the people, was presented through grace, and deliverance was presented to the people, but they turned it down. Then if God changes not, at the second Exodus, the same thing took place. At the second Exodus, God gives the prophet a message, and the message is not his own, but God's message to bring in the people. From the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham said, God's messengers always has been rejected. You believe that? Moses was rejected, is that right? Jesus was rejected. And Luke said in 10:16, if you want to write that down, all right, rejected. 1 Samuel 8 and 7, God's message was rejected. God had a messenger and a prophet called Samuel. You believe it? Rejected him and his message. They took the world. This is the law of God. This is going. And I don't know whether to say this or not, but this is a law of God. God's law is to receive a vindicated servant. Let's just prove that just a minute. I want to take one of the scriptures here, John 13 and verse 20. Let's just see. I got something wrote down here. I get in my mind just then. Oh yeah, here you are. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me, a vindicated servant. Oh brother, there's 1,000 sermons laying right there in that. That's right. Oh my, that's the law of God to receive it. Now notice then, even the Son of God was of such a nature that he knew when to speak and when not to speak. And he only spoke what God told him to speak. In Matthew 17, verse 5, we read, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In Acts 7, verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. In Acts 3 and verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And in John 12 and verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus then was commanded by God what to say, what to speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Excuse me. As Brother Branham taught us, that God reveals his message first to the messenger. Then the messenger is to reveal it or bring it to the people. In John 8 and 28, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In John 7, verse 16, Jesus said unto them, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So you see that Jesus was such an obedient character that he didn't add his own 2 cents to anything. He said only and all what God told him to say. In John 10:31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you of my Father, for which of those works do you stone me? He's talking about vindication. The Jews answering said unto him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. And Jesus answering them said, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works, he's talking about vindication, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, the person, the man, believe the works, the vindication, that you might know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Now, looking at the third Exodus, which is this hour, God gives us the prophet, excuse me, he gives a prophet a message that he will deliver the people from bondage. From the message, Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Branham said, God, you spoke in that day that you'd have a little church. Said, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for opening my poor eyes, me, a poor, blind, wretched, out yonder in sin, born in a sinful family, and reared up over a whiskey barrel. Oh, but how, God, you protected and helped and blessed and satisfied. How can I ever express my feelings to you, Lord? Oh, God, just let this be just the beginning, Lord, that I can go again to the corners of the world everywhere, proclaiming the message of deliverance and salvation. So Brother Branham's message was one of deliverance. And, you know, we talk about deliverance ministries. That's usually delivering people from healing, from illnesses through healing. But there's also, it's a message of deliverance, not just from this sickliness, but letting us know that if God can take care of your aches and pains, and if he can take care of your diseases and everything else, can't he also deliver your soul? You see. From which church will the church go through the tribulation? Brother Brown said, although each time angels appeared, prophets arose, and their message has always been grace, mercy, and deliverance, God's message has always been deliverance, just before the end time. Check it through the scriptures, how Noah preached deliverance, and they laughed at him, and made fun of him, and were scoffed at. And as it was in them days, so is it today. And when you go forth with the message that Christ is raised from the dead, as he promised that he would show himself forth, and they do today to that message, just like they did to the message in the other day, Lot went out into Sodom and tried his best to get his kindred to listen to the angel's message, but they mocked at him. And they said that he was making fun. Oh, what a picture of this day. When you bring to them the message of God's deliverance and they say you're making fun of religion, you're trying to impersonate something, same type of a group. What an hour we're living in. Why, they think that they're the only ones that's going to be saved. They think they're the only ones that's preaching the gospel. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. It isn't my word, it's his word. And from anointed ones at the end time, notice Brother Branham said, it isn't my word. So it wasn't Brother Branham's message. The things that are hidden belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and our children. Once it was revealed to him, it became his message. Once it became revealed to you, it now becomes your message. What are you doing with it? Anointed ones at the end time. Brother Ram said, now I want you to know this is sure, and you listening to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice in my voice, even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things just as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's just what I surrendered myself to. He spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the angel, the seventh angel. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel is not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words would fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all these denominational and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? So Brother Ram's letting us know, look, it wasn't me. He said, it wasn't what I knew. It wasn't what the angel knew. It's what God spoke and told us to say. From the token, he said, and if I ain't telling you the truth, they'd never speak back. God will never speak to a lie. God speaks to the truth. And these words are testifying that I'm telling you the truth. They are the one that testify of the message that I'm preaching. Not only the angel down there on the river that day that said, your message will forerun the second coming, the works itself. If you can't believe that, angel, I told the truth, believe the works. For the Bible said these things would happen at the end time. And they are they that testify. They're the ones that speak louder than my words or anyone else. It's His word. They testify of the time. Notice Brother Branham says, quoting, your message will forerun the second coming. I know we've heard people testify and say, well, Brother Branham was more than a man. Brother Branham was not more than a man. He's no different than you and I, except for God beat the snot out of him like He didn't beat the snot out of you and I. And he came very humble, very subservient to God, knowing his place. Brother Branham was not more than a man. Those things that were done was not Brother Branham doing them. He was no more than a voice that God used. And it wasn't, the angel didn't say that that you shall forerun the second coming. He said your message shall forerun the second coming. But if you get your eyes on the vessel, you're doomed to fail. You get your eyes on the God behind the vessel. From the token, from seed is not air with a shuck. Just about 6 months after that, I had my first baptism down here on the river when the light came down right here at Spring Street. Many of you people might want to go down and take a look at it at Spring Street and water right at the riverfront. And there's where the angel of the Lord appeared in public first at 2 o'clock one afternoon. And a voice came from it and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second coming. This is 30 years later, and here I am still tonight proclaiming that message. And around the world it went. And I'm back, and I'm glad to be back in my hometown tonight to represent this Lord Jesus Christ that I still love with all my heart. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. I've never changed one iota of my doctrine. The first thing I started with, I still believe the same thing tonight. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's interesting that he could say that because he was a prophet. God told him what to say. So he didn't change his doctrine. But I heard a minister one time say, well, bless God, he said, I've been preaching the same thing for the last 40 years. And I thought, if you've been preaching the same thing for the last 40 years, you haven't grown a bit. You haven't grown a bit. And he said that back in the 80s. Meaning that when he came into the message, he never changed what he's preaching before he came in the message. From birth pains, Brother Brown said, oh, word believers, give in to my message. Hear me, not my message, but his message that he firmly declares to be the truth. You've got to choose from somewhere. You can't get set still after this. You've got to make your choice. And so we see then that God vindicates that message. God steps in, He backs up that message and that messenger. In the first Exodus, God backs up the prophet's message with supernatural signs following. From the evening messenger, Brother Branham said, the people who laughed and made fun and would not accept His message, they perished with the rest of the unbelievers. But the believers went out and entered into the promised land. They went under the anointed messenger of the message. Under the anointed message of the messenger. It was a message of deliverance that God promised. He'd bring His people to a land flowing with milk and honey, and it happened because God had already said so. And Moses came and was vindicated as a messenger of that day. Now that brings it pretty plain to us. From Exodus 3 and verse 12, and He says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And in Exodus 4 and verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And from my identification, Brother Branham said, and any man that's with God's message knows where he's standing. He don't care for nobody, what they got to say about it. There ain't no bishops or nothing else that's going to push him around. He knows exactly where he's standing, and that settles it. God vindicates His message and proves that it's right, so He stands right with it, and He's fearless. That's the expressed image of God. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't afraid to say, oh, you blind Pharisees, you're the one who builds the tombs of the prophets and you're the one that put them in there. You are of your father the devil, and archbishops and everything else. He wasn't afraid because he knowed where he was. Amen. From the second Exodus, we see that God backs up the prophet's message with supernatural signs following. In Acts 2 and verse 22, we read, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So we see God approving Jesus by miracles and wonders and signs. So, in other words, God vindicating him. In John 8:45, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not, which of you convinces of me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me not?" And in verse 37, chapter 10 of verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. In John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So we see several times here we have scripture showing that Jesus also pointed to vindication. Moses pointed to vindication. William Branham pointed to vindication. From Be Not Afraid, we read, "You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in God. It's all over, brother. Just believe it now. We are strangers to one another. Now that ought to settle it for the whole group of you. Does that confirm that I'm preaching the truth? How would God let me tell something wrong and stand up here with my message? With my very message, these things are only to indicate a vindication that my theology is right." That's exactly right. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. You believe it with all your heart? I don't know you. Jesus knows you. You're a very fine person, and you're not here for yourself. You're here for someone else. It's your daughter. You believe God can tell me what her trouble is? It's in her spine. That's right. No, that's true. If that's right, raise up your hand. Now, do you believe with all your heart? Over in Middletown, the big organizational preachers got together, and before Brother Brown came out on the platform, one of the guys that was hosting the meetings, he got up there and he said, "Now, when Brother Branham prophesies, it's 100%. But when he starts to teach doctrine, don't you listen to it, because he doesn't know what he's talking about." Brother Branham said, "You think God would let me speak, thus saith the Lord, and 100% of the time it comes to pass, and not know what I'm talking about?" You talk about a man that's going to burn in hell. From blind Bartimaeus, "And in praying for the sick tonight, as we pray for the sick, the Lord may come to us and give the visions. And if he does, remember, the vision doesn't heal the people. The vision is only a vindication that the word is right." How many knows that the word prophet means? Sure you do. A prophet means a one that foretells or forthtells. And it is a divine sign from God that this person that's speaking has the right interpretation of the divine word. Because the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And the prophets foretold and done those things, which is a vindication that he had the interpretation of the divine word. And from John 5 and verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, but there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have come in this day, that you have vindicated your prophet. Because had there not been your vindication of that ministry, but their conclusions were wrong. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about conclusions, because we have a vindicated message. One that is perfectly right on the dot. And so we commit, Lord, all these thoughts and all the teaching that we've had. We commit it back unto Thee, asking that You would allow it to be expressed in us and through us. That it might take a hold of us in Jesus Christ's name and transform us by the renewing of our mind. Amen. Now, I have some books at home, and if you actually look up on the internet, in fact, I have them back here, books on the serpent seed. One I ordered the other day, and it's called The Son of Satan. And they believe that there was two lines, two seeds, but they try to come to a conclusion that it was either the blacks or it was the blacks and or the Jews. Because Jesus told a bunch of Jews, he said, you're of your father, the devil. So then they say, well, see, all Jews are of the devil and they're, you know, they're this. And so they come to the conclusions that the Jews are the serpent seed and that blacks are serpent seed. But thank God that we had a vindicated prophet who told us not only the Bible truth, but told us what it's all about. And so it takes the hatred from your heart that these other understandings would bring into a person's heart. And it just helps you better understand election and predestination and your place in the economy of God as a son of God. So that's why I say that vindication, we are so thankful that God vindicated Brother Branham, because he can teach us these things and you know you're going to get a balance. You're not going to get some out in left field or right field version of the truth. So let's all stand to our feet and we'll just sing, let's just sing Only Believe one more time. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Things are possible.